And it's kind of like, you know, they wanted, we should have a drum roll, I think, for this one, because there was a huge announcement about the new iMac Pro.
Yeah, and this iMac Pro, the baseline one to start off with, has got 8 cores in it. So you got 8 processing cores in that machine.
Wow.
But your top of the line one has 18 cores. And so it can just blaze through just about anything. I mean, mm-hmm. if you're creating animation or that sort of thing, it's going to be so smooth and mm-hmm. and flawless looking. I'm in the business, and I go like 11 teraflop. I don't know what that really feels like, but I know it's fast. So, you know, those sort of things that are out there available for you. You can put, you know, they can take more memory right inside of the machine itself, up to 128 gig.
Yeah.
So 3D modeling and that sort of thing, things that people are doing with a pro size type machine, they'll be able to do. And a lot of people had said in the past, you know, I'd like to be able to take advantage of the beauty of that big iMac screen,
mm-hmm.
but they're not fast enough. They're not at a pro level. Well, now they are. And in addition to that, even if you've got a 27-inch iMac Pro sitting there, you go like, I need some more. Well, you can hook up to 2 5K displays to that existing iMac. So now you got 3 of them going on at the same time.
Amazing.
That ought to give you enough screen space to work with.
Yeah, a lot more than I could even imagine. But this is going to be replacing what had been rather derogatorily described as the trash can, which was the original iPad Pro, well, pardon me, the Mac Pro, which had been brought out with much fanfare. What was it in? Was it 3 years ago? I think it was.
Yeah, about three years ago.
Yeah.
And yeah, it came out with a lot of fanfare, but, you know, when you bought it, you got that, a keyboard and a mouse, and that was it. So mm-hmm. then you still had to get displays and,
yep.
and external drive arrays and that sort of thing. You can still use your same drive arrays. You can still use your external displays if they're Thunderbolt. But you just get so much more right there on the desktop that you can work with.
You know, and when I saw some of the commentary after the announcements at WWDC, one of the things that struck me was that people are now comparing the MacBook, this would be the iMac Pro, with Microsoft's Surface. I believe it's the huge screen that they've got. I think it's like 27 inches as well. And has a lot of the same design kind of capabilities. It has a touchscreen, though, I believe, if I'm not wrong. So it looks like that is kind of becoming a pitched battle between those two companies, where before, in many ways, I think, the battle was kind of, you know, the battleground was conceded to Apple.
Yeah, it's possible, but, you know, I guess it's the marketing that they do over at Microsoft. Sometimes they'll have something really cool, but God knows where the heck it is, because no one ever talks about it.
That's true.
And Lord knows the crowds in the Microsoft stores are such that you got to fight your way in sometimes when they first open.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting. Leo Laporte. I don't know if you have noticed, but Leo Laporte,
ahead.
Who's a big fan of Mac computers up to this point, has now made a big about-face in his, I was just watching his Mac Break Weekly, as a matter of fact, and he was essentially saying that he's abandoned the Mac side for the Microsoft side. So it'll be interesting to see if some of those people who I think have kind of slipped away from the Apple camp can be wooed back. What do you think?
You know, I always look at it as, you know, there are people, there's three types of people. There are people who don't care, there are people who do care, and there are people who just kind of flow with the wind. You know, it's like, oh, this looks really nice and shiny, I guess I'll go that way. And I would put Leo Laporte in that category, saying that, you know, he sees something that he thinks he likes, and he's going after it because it's new, it's something different. You know, if you really look at the iMac, you know, it's been evolutionary
mm-hmm.
Since its all-in-one beginning. Has it changed completely differently? No. I think a lot of what drug Leo Laporte in that particular direction is something that Apple has decided they're not going to do, and that's the touch screen interface on a desktop computer.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going that way. And they had their reasons, and one of them being from a ergonomic standpoint that carpal tunnel can be very aggravated on a touch screen on a desktop machine. And also the workflow pattern, how you do your work, reaching up to a screen means you have to take a hand off the mouse or your hand off the keyboard to do such.
Yeah.
Well, if you're the type of person that does a lot of keyboarding or you do a lot of mousing, that's going to break your workflow up, where if you're a touch screen type person, I guess from birth, then I guess it works out really well for you.
Now, Cal,
The reason why they created the touch bar on the new MacBooks is because it still gives you a touch interface, so you can do some things that you would do on a touch screen, but you don't really have to leave the keyboard to do it.
Maybe this is a final question for you. We're talking with Cal Carson from, he's in Atlanta, Georgia right now, talking about his analysis of the Apple announcements that came out this past week from the Worldwide Developers Conference. Has what you heard and saw at WWDC influenced where you're going to go next with your purchases? Where would, like, I know, I bet there's a lot of people listening say, okay, Cal, what are you going to be buying in the near future? Is it going to change your patterns?
If I had not just got a new iMac, the iMac is definitely where I would go. I think it's a great piece of equipment that's out there. I think it's right now at the pinnacle or darn near the pinnacle of its development as it stands in the platform that it is. And it's a good economical value at this time based upon what you're going to get in that particular package. So if I was going to buy anything, the iMac would be the first thing I would look at. And I would probably say the iPad Pro would be the second on that list. But you know something? We've been yakking all this time, and we always talk about what are they going to announce at the developers conference and this and that and that sort of thing. We haven't even talked about the one thing that they announced that we really weren't expecting, and that's HomePod.
Oh, yes, you're right. How could I ever have forgotten? So what do you think? Do you think it's going to be a worthy competitor?
You know, for me, the jury is still out, because right now it's basically, to me, from what they describe, is a Siri-controlled stereo system, and I'm not sure that's enough for me right now to warrant $349. It looks good, even though the HomePod looks interesting. When I go into the store to check it out and listen to the fidelity and stuff like that, I think right now my product of choice is still going to be the iMac. I think that's the best thing I got going out right now.
Yeah, and you mentioned the iPad Pro, which I'm very impressed with, and have a grandson who is in med school, and he picked one up, a used one, and it has been wonderful for him because he can load his 50, 60 pounds of textbooks into the iPad Pro and carry them around easily. He can annotate pages. He is just really blown away by how efficient that is. One last thing. Do you think that the operating systems, iOS 11?
That'd be iOS. iOS 10 is currently right now. iOS 11 is coming later this year.
And then the new system for the desktop.
You currently have Mac Sierra running right now.
Right.
And Mac High Sierra is coming later.
Right. And there are, that's, is that more tweaks with Mac High Sierra than really substantive changes?
A lot more tweaks. They do have some big changes coming in it, but they didn't go into details about it. Mm. And that's coming later on as well, to be able to give more interoperability between all the different Apple products as well, and also take advantage of some of the power of the new process.
Yeah. Do you think these two operating systems are eventually heading to a place where there will be one system to rule them all, kind of like what Windows 10 is for Microsoft?
I hope not, because I think that's part of what killed the Windows Phone. There's only a part of what you want to take from that operating system and meld them together. If you try to force a desktop operating system onto a telephone, or try to force a phone operating system onto a desktop, I think you lose both ways. But if you take nuggets of it, to join them together so that the vital information that you need to pass between the two pass easily and flawlessly, then you're going the right direction.
Now, Cal, you've got a Mac group meeting coming up this weekend, don't you?
Yeah, June 11th, and we have someone coming in to talk with us, and that would be Joe Kissel, and he's going to talk about his latest ebook. It's called Take Control of Your Digital Legacy.
Oh, yes.
And obviously, a lot of people, me included, for a while, don't think about such things as, okay, I've got a bunch of digital stuff like, old movies and stuff on VHS. Well, now I need to move that forward into some sort of digital type way of being able to retain that information. And then so if you copy them all, let's say, over to DVDs, and then later on down the line, DVDs are going to go the way of VHS. So learning how to manage that digital legacy is important. Mm-hmm. And I believe Joe is going to talk about that and so much more. Yeah, at the Birmingham Temple.
Birmingham Temple,
Sunday,
pardon me.
June 11th, starting at 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And they can get all the information on it from macgroup.org, or they can link to it off our website,
right,
internetadvisor.net. And you can get all that information. If you come at 2 o'clock, we have a genius table going on
time.
You can bring in your computer, sit down, talk with someone if you need to try and get a problem fixed, both hardware and software. And the meeting's open to everybody, including non-Mac people, because there's something to be learned about computers for everybody at our meeting.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this business of legacy that you're leaving is important as well. Okay, that's coming up on Sunday, June the 11th, and it's going to be starting at 3 p.m. Thank you so much, Cal, for being with us and for taking this generous amount of time out. We're going to be posting this as a special edition of, or a special segment of the Internet Advisor that people can tap into and listen to your full analysis of the WWDC. In the meantime, you have a good weekend down in Atlanta, Georgia, and we look forward to seeing you back in studio soon.
I'm going to go get myself a mint julep right now and have a good time.
Thanks, Cal. Take care of yourself.